Josh, how are you?
Oh, very well. How are you?
I am outstanding. Dean Millard filling in for Mr. Greger today. And you got to be pumped up about Game 7 in Pittsburgh tonight because it's for all the marbles and moving on to the conference final.
Well, I'm certainly pumped up to cover it, but I can tell you the mood in the city here in Pittsburgh isn't so pumped up. But I would say it's more of the fan base kind of expecting the worst tonight. There's definitely a negative vibe with the way the last two games have gone in this series.
Yeah, is there just a nervous, is a bunch of nervous Nellies because of the possibility of blowing the second 3-1 deficit in 4 years?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's more than just this season. The fan base has become a little more agitated with this team, I think is a fair way to put it. Expectations are just so high for these guys. And when they won the Cup in 2009, you know, I was guilty of this too. I thought, you know, this might be a dynasty. These guys might win 3 or 4 Cups. And it hasn't happened that way, and there have been some bad playoff flameouts. And if they lose this series against what I think we can agree is a good Rangers team, but certainly not a great one, and if they blow a 3-1 lead against them, it's not going to go over real well here.
So let's just play the what if game. And what if this happens, the bad happens, and they lose this series? We've heard that Dan Bylsma could be on the way out. Do they start picking apart guys on this team and go into not a rebuild, but a retool and start picking off key guys on this team and looking at different positions? You know, I don't think this series you can hang the hat on the goat horns on Marc-Andre Fleury, but, you know, do they start taking key players off this team and retooling?
Well, if they lose tonight, I would be stunned, number one, if Dan Bylsma is not fired. I really think he will be, and whether you think that's fair or not, I happen to think he's a good coach, but you can certainly make the argument that he's been tuned out by his players to some extent, and, you know, if that happens, it's happened to good coaches before. Sometimes it is time to move on. I think he'll be gone. I've heard some rumblings from people I trust that Ray Shiro is not completely safe either, and that might seem hard to believe because he's an awfully highly regarded general manager. But I don't think anybody's job is safe unless your name is Crosby or Malkin. Otherwise, there will be significant changes. But those two aren't going anywhere. And I think they're actually pretty pleased with Marc-Andre Fleury's play this spring. He's been pretty good, but I don't think he's necessarily safe. I think James Neal could be traded this summer. I wouldn't be shocked. Chris Letang could be traded this summer. I wouldn't be shocked. There will be a shakeup because the expectations among owners Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle is exceedingly high. And if they lose this series, especially with a 3-1 lead, I promise you it's not going to go over well at all.
Yeah, this would be, if this happens, it would be the second time in 4 years that they've blown a 3-1 lead and the second time that they've lost Game 7 at home, which is what you play all season for.
Well, that's right, and the Penguins have a strange history. In their history, they're 2-6 at home in Game 7, and they're 5-0 on the road in Game 7. So
wow.
It doesn't make sense, and I guess history is a little bit against them in that regard. And yeah, you mentioned those two series with a blown 3-1 leads, and the other two were getting swept by Boston and scoring only 2 goals in the whole series last year and giving up 30 goals to Philadelphia in the first-round exit 2 years ago. So when they lose, they have done so in dramatic fashion and in a way that hasn't made the coaching staff look very good, quite honestly. So I assure you Dan Bylsma is very much coaching for his job tonight.
What do we make of the pep talk that Mario gave to Sidney Crosby? I understand he had a similar talk with Marc-Andre Fleury during the Columbus series as well.
Yeah, it's funny. Mario is always kind of around, but he's a hands-off owner, very much so. You don't see him come into the locker room very often, and I happened to be the very last reporter in the locker room in Madison Square Garden the other night until a Penguins official shooed me away. And I was trying to stay for a few more seconds because I looked up and I see number 66 sit down beside number 87. And boy, would I have loved to have heard just a little snippet of that conversation. You can see Sid's pretty wound up. He's frustrated with himself. He knows he's not playing well, and he's just, it's driving him crazy, and he just can't figure out what's wrong with his game. I don't think anybody can. And Mario kind of had the look of a concerned father on his face. You know, you almost had that sense he was about to impart some wisdom to his young star. And I wish I would have had a camera in my hand. It would have been quite a poignant picture just to see Mario sit down beside him. He almost had an arm around him just talking with him. And they were the only two people in the locker room. It was a heck of a sight.
Did any of them, did either share any part of the conversation?
No, I asked Sid about it yesterday, and he kind of laughed it off. He said, you guys made such a big deal about it. He said, we talk sometimes, it's no big deal. But he kind of shied away from discussing it. And, you know, maybe Mario didn't say anything poignant necessarily. Maybe it was just seeing him in that locker room. We never see Mario in there, really. And for him just to sit down and talk with Sid probably meant something to him. Because, I mean, really, how many players in the history of this game have dealt with the pressure and the expectations that Sidney Crosby deals with? There have been a handful, maybe Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, a few. But, you know, Mario's one of the few guys who I think could really relate to Sidney, and it just so happens that he's good friends with him and the owner of his team. So it's obviously an interesting dynamic that we have here in Pittsburgh with two players historically of their stature. So we will see. I can tell you that, you know, Sid has just kind of looked miserable all postseason. He's so angry at himself. And usually he's, you know, cheery and in a good mood. And you can see it's really taken a toll on him. And he seemed like he was in a better mood this morning. He was actually pretty laid back and relaxed. So we'll see if that plays out on the ice.
Well, all eyes are on Sidney. Just like, you know, this reminds me a lot about what the entire country was doing, not just the city of Pittsburgh, but the entire country was doing during the Sochi Olympics. If the Penguins lose and if Canada had lost, that's what it was for 2 weeks in Canada. Sydney's not scoring. Sydney's not scoring. Sydney's not scoring. What's wrong with Sydney? What's wrong? Well, Canada was winning and the Penguins still have a chance to win this game. And like Sidney Crosby is apt to do, he came through in the clutch in that gold medal game, just like he did in 2010. And if he comes through in this game and the Penguins win, then the pressure is off for a little bit. But he is off his game. The stuff he was doing the other night with the Rangers is not Sidney Crosby. And when he's doing stuff like that, the rest of the team seems to get off their game a little bit too. No power play shots. I think he got his first power play shot in Game 6. That's not Sidney Crosby.
No, and you particularly notice him struggling on the power play. I have never seen him turn the puck over like he has during the past 2 weeks. It's unbelievable. It's four or five times every game. He's just forcing these passes that aren't there. And if you watch Game 6, you notice he was set up in the right-wing circle like normal. But he literally had his back turned to Henrik Lundqvist most of the time. He wasn't even thinking about shooting. And you know, it's bizarre. I know he's a playmaker first, but you know, it makes it pretty easy to defend when they know you're not going to shoot, and he wasn't. And, yeah, I mean, there's obviously pressure on him, and he knows. And there were a bunch of Canadian reporters here today, and they were all asking Dan Bylsma about one guy, and you know who that was. And he knows the whole nation of Canada's watching tonight, and he's feeling the pressure. There's no doubt about it. And historically, he does rise up in the big moments. I've always said Crosby is more about the big moment than he is necessarily statistics, whereas I think the Gretzky's and Lemieux, you just look at their numbers and your eyes get big. You know, Sid puts up numbers, but you know, we remember the goal in Sochi and the showdown with Ovechkin 5 years ago in the playoffs and the goal in Vancouver, stuff like that. So he has a chance to atone for it and to provide us with another moment tonight. But if he goes pointless again tonight and they lose, he's going to have some questions to answer this summer. There's no doubt about it.
Do you expect Sid and Malkin to start together and play together most of tonight?
Not necessarily. The Penguins, you know how they are about lineups this time of year. It was nothing formal by any stretch, but I get the sense that you might see Malkin go back with James Neal and Jussi Jokinen, who he played with most of the season, and Crosby with Kunitz in a right wing to be determined. I'm sure they'll play together some, but I have a feeling they're going to go back to kind of dance with who brought them there during the regular season.
Good stuff, Josh. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen in spectacular fashion because whether you win or lose, it's going to be a crazy story. And then just think, it only will get better if the Penguins win and you play Montreal in the next round for Sidney Crosby. The storylines will only get bigger, so it can only get better for you.
Can't wait for that Terry and Bylsma Eastern Conference final. We've been waiting for
it. Wait for the scrums from the Montreal press in Pittsburgh.
Oh, goodness. I can't wait.
All right, Josh. Thanks for giving us some time today and enjoy the game.
My pleasure. Take care.